The intro's gone.
Oh, you took the intro out.
Not intentionally, no.
Actually, what it is that Tuesday is the Cat's Den. So there's supposed to be another intro for the Cat's Den. And we don't have that other intro today because we have the Cat's Game. So you would have needed to put back in the intro. So give me the intro. Go into yesterday's log, Aaron, and let's play the music and intro. Let's do this right. So we'll get you. Let me know when that's right, because I can't get in the can't get ready for the show without some sort of intro. Champlain Valley Game Night is live from Patrick Gym. Aaron's going to find us the music and the proper intro here, and in a couple minutes we're going to sit down with Matt Glass. Aaron's back in studio. This place is starting to fill up. Good crowd already. Stony Brook's brought a good contingent. They've got their band. They've got their cheerleaders here as well. I would say right behind me starting to fill up pretty quickly. The UVM side is here. This game is sold out. Across from me, a quarter full right now as the fans start to pile in. Both teams on the floor right now getting warmed up. UVM players stretching. Stony Brook players running and getting some shots up as well. A lot of Catamounts out here early today getting early work in. Trey Bell Haynes, Anthony Lamb, Steph Smith, they were out here getting a bunch of shots in. And then Drew Urquhart was out here hitting some fadeaway jumpers along with the Duncan brothers. So Cam Ward, almost every member of the Cats was out here early today getting shots up. Aaron, we find the intro yet?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
Now we're ready to go. Now we're rolling. Champlain Valley Game Night live from Patrick Gym. Moving up until 6:30. And then Sam Hyman, he's sitting right next to me. He's here getting, and we'll have the pregame show coming up at 6:30. Matt Glass just moments away from now as well. I do want to start back again with the Deion Sanders comments from earlier. If you missed it in the huddle, Deion Sanders basically said that he was surprised that safety Troy Apke at the NFL Combine out of Penn State, he ran a 4.35 40, and Deion Sanders basically said he was surprised about that because that Apke is white. And he said that he can't, you know, he couldn't say it on the air why he was surprised, but he said, Rich Eisen, you know why I'm surprised. And here's what I'm saying about that. I am not offended by them. I am used to a culture where it's funny to say that white guys are slow, or it's funny to say that white guys can't jump. That is a commonality, a common thought, a common stereotype, a common joke that I've heard my entire life. I am not offended by it. In my case, it holds true. I certainly am a white guy who cannot jump. But what I'm telling you is this, is that if a lot of what we're doing in the world, if a lot of what we're talking about with athlete activism and just general social awareness and political correctness, if what we're going for is a state of inclusion, if what we're going for is a state of understanding and a state of tolerance, then comments like that by Deion Sanders should not be made. We understand that if there were disparaging comments made against African-American players, that an African-American quarter, you know, people are saying it's racist that Lamar Jackson is being asked to try out at wide receiver rather than a quarterback. And people are saying if he were white, he wouldn't be asked to do that. If we're going to look at it on that side, then this has to be looked at through the same lens. Look, these comments don't offend me. But if what we're going for is tolerance and inclusion, if what we're going for is better understanding and better racial awareness, then those comments by Deion Sanders are wrong. And everyone's going to have their, you know, their own personal barometer of where they go over the line. Those comments don't go over the line to me because, like I said, I've lived it my whole life. I've heard it my whole life. The movie White Man Can't Jump was hugely popular. But if we're going to get out of looking at sports through a racial stereotype lens, if we're going to get out of looking at life through a racial stereotyping lens, then this comment needs to go too. And I'm not saying Deion needs to be fired. I'm not saying Deion needs to even be reprimanded, because I truly don't care. But I'm sure that there are people out there that do, and I'm sure those comments do bother people. And what I just want is consistency. That's all I want from everything in life. I want the umpire to call it both ways. I want the referees to throw the flags the same way every time. And I want them to look at teams the same way. And I want life to be viewed at through the same prism. And that prism needs to be viewed through that prism needs to be consistent. It's Champlain Valley Game Night here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. We are live right now at Patrick Gym. We are getting ready for the America East semifinal. We've got Matt Glass here sitting down with me. Matt Glass, a former player at Mount Mansfield Union High School, where he scored 1,000 points. Also played at UVM, played for 2 years after playing at UMass. And he called the game with Sam Hyman on Saturday night in the quarterfinal. So Matt Glass sitting down with us. Matt, thanks for being here, man. How are you?
What's up, Brady? Thanks for having me, man. I'm doing well.
Well, I appreciate it. Who knew you were a media star? Rumor has it was your broadcast on Saturday night against Maine was your first dalliance into media?
First time, man. It was a wild ride.
What'd you think of it? Because everyone always paints us as the bad guys.
It was fun, man. It was fun to see it from that side. It takes some getting used to, that's for sure. I don't think I could do what you guys do.
Matt, let's talk about this. You played at UVM. You graduated in 2012. You were on a team that went to the tournament. You played for both John Becker and Mike Lonergan. Talk about just overall your experience as a Catamount.
I look back and I couldn't be more thankful for my experience as a Catamount, man. It really was a dream come true to get to play for a coach like Mike Lonergan. And then on top of that, to get to finish out my career with John, it was really, really special. And, you know, John really taught me a lot about what it means to be a competitor, what it means to be a good man. I really hold on to those experiences, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Let's kind of backtrack. So you're from Vermont. You went to Mount Mansfield. You had a great high school career, scored over 1,000 points. Then you went to UMass right out of college, right out of high school. What was the decision to go to UMass about?
So when I was getting recruited, I loved UMass. I loved the coaching staff. I loved the environment over there. I loved the system that they ran. The coach at the time was Travis Ford. And I just thought he was fantastic. He really inspired me, so I was really, really excited to be a part of that. And then as things kind of played out, I felt like at some point I thought about coming back home when things, started changing a little bit for me as far as my role. I wasn't really sure where I was going to stand there moving forward. It felt like the right time to come home, and I'm so glad that I did.
So what was the recruiting process like to get back to UVM? At that point, do you call up Mike Lonergan and say, hey, I'm thinking of transferring. Do you have room for me? How does that work?
It was a little bit, I had stayed in touch kind of with that coaching staff because, they had been in contact with me kind of coming out of high school, but the timing wasn't really right. And honestly, I don't think I was good enough to play there at that point. I kind of needed to evolve my game a little bit and get stronger and keep working on things. So when I knew that I was thinking about transferring, that it would be a natural time to make a change. They knew that once I officially decided that I was going to transfer, we could kind of open up our conversations and reconnect, and it worked out, man.
We hear frequently that Vermont is not a hotbed for Division I athletes, unless maybe we're talking about hockey or skiing or something, but just the opportunities to play Division I and other sports, it's a lot harder to get there from here. How did you get so good in high school to even get on Division I team's radar?
A long time ago when I was starting to get really serious about it, I had conversations with older players that I looked up to. And they talked to me about, if you really want to be great at something, you got to be willing to pay the price. And, what that means, especially a kid from a small town, it's got to become an obsession. It's got to be something that consumes you. You can't just be out in the driveway, shooting a little bit here and there every night and playing pickup with your buddies. It's got to be something, as we know, in any area, in any part of your life, if you really want to be great at something, you have to dedicate all your time and all your energy to it. And I became obsessed. Basketball was all I did. You know, when I wasn't playing basketball, I was training. And, I was able to kind of see that hard work start to pay off, and that got even more addicting. And I just kept working and working and working, and I was really, really fortunate to have that hard work turn into some really incredible opportunities for me personally, which was really exciting.
Matt Glass, former UVM basketball player, with us now on Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com, on a UVM team that went to the NCAA tournament, scored double figures his senior year in Catamount Country. Talk to me about your senior year. You make the NCAA tournament, you lose to North Carolina in the first round. What was it like being on the floor with UNC? What was it like capping off your college career with a tournament run?
It was absolutely a dream come true. Looking back at our team and our experience, it was really an up and down year. It kind of took us, a good three quarters of the year to really kind of find our identity and really kind of get into our groove. So to be able to have it culminate with an experience like that, it was some storybook stuff for sure. But at the head of it was John as our leader. We were just really, really fortunate to be a part of that winning culture that he's really solidified there at UVM. He'd always preach to us just that if we continued to work and if we continued to believe in our system and what we were capable of, it was gonna pay off. And it sure did in the best way. And we got to tangle with UNC, and that was something that when you're little, you watch those guys on TV, and all of a sudden, you're standing there at the free throw line with them, just staring up at how monstrous these guys are. And it was just a really, really neat experience for me to kind of come full circle.
Before you played UVM, you won a play-in game, a first four game. Maybe at that point it was even just a play-in game out in Dayton. I hate the play-in game. I've always hated the play-in game. I say if you win the tournament, you should be in the tournament, not off to the side of the bracket. But because you guys won, we can have some fun with it. What was it like to have the feeling of winning an NCAA tournament game?
It was a really cool experience, man. It was kind of a roller coaster of emotions, when the picks come out and, you see that you're in that play-in game. We knew that was a possibility, so we were prepared for it. But, once it was official, kind of had to get over this idea of, we got to prove ourselves again, just to get to the real thing. But once we got over that, we were able to lock in, and the coaches did an incredible job kind of on short notice preparing us for a really good Lamar team. And, we were able to go out there and compete and kind of play our brand of basketball and get a win, and then, have an opportunity to then run into a North Carolina team, who's starting five is they're all heading to the NBA. It was really, really neat.
And you mentioned that you had played for both, or I mentioned you had played for both Mike Lonergan and John Becker. And when I brought up Lonergan's name at the beginning, you talked about him pretty positively. You did so on the broadcast this past weekend as well. We've heard the rumors and the rumblings about why Mike Lonergan lost his job at George Washington for being too tough on players, et cetera, but you seem to have a different perception of him.
Well, the thing about Mike, and, it's something I've always appreciated about Mike, is, he's a winner, and he understands what it takes to win. And I think anybody that's involved in college basketball would tell you that, college coaches are a different breed, and you kind of have to be successful. So I always appreciated how hard Mike pushed people. I've been really fortunate in my career to play for, just some exceptional coaches that have taught me a lot about, what it takes to be a competitor, what it takes to be a winner, what it takes to be a man. I always talk to my old high school coach, Jeff Davis, about this. He prepared me probably more for college basketball than anybody because he was so hard on me. And when I arrived, at UMass, or I arrived in Mike's system where there was a lot of pressure and a lot of demands, and a lot of adversity, I kind of ate it up. That was something that I was comfortable with, and something that, I understand that Mike was always just trying to get the best out of me, and that's something that I can always respect.
Former UVM player Matt Glass with us here at Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Matt, we are going up until the America East semi, Stony Brook and UVM. What did you think of the Catamounts overall against Maine on Saturday? What have you thought of them recently over the last month or so?
I love this team, man. I really do. It's incredible to watch, their talent top to bottom, and just different guys being able to step in and be productive. So, I was excited to see how, they kind of turned the corner in that second half against Maine, really started getting back to Catamount basketball and really dictating the tempo and getting the types of shots that we want to get. So it was really neat to see them take over the game and do it in their way. And I think as we progress, you know, they're going to continue to do that. And, you know, at the core of it, you always see this with UVM teams, and I think that's why they've been consistently successful, is because, you know, John always gets his guys, no matter who the personnel is, he always gets them to buy in defensively and on the glass. So no matter what team's out there, you're seeing guys compete and guard and rebound, and that's how you can win consistently, because, you know, shots are going to fall or they're not. That's just basketball. That's life. So if you can consistently bring, you know, your effort up to a really high level and compete, you know, good things are going to happen.
Matt, we'll get you out of here on this. We got a game tonight at the Burlington Y. In case we see Mike Trimboli again in the playoffs of this league, give us some kind of trade secret, because he scored 50 on us last time.
Oh, man, I'd just wrap him up and foul him. I don't think he's going to cross half court.
Well,
if he's got the ball in his hand, it's down, man.
Well, better him getting to the line and shooting two than just pulling up for three, I guess.
There you go. We'll play the numbers game.
Matt Glass, we appreciate the time, man. We're going up to the tip-off here. We're just a few minutes away from that. Matt, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again.
Hey, thanks so much, Brady. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely sitting down with us. Matt Glass, former UVM player, scored 1,000 points in his high school career over at Mount Mansfield Union as well. Sam Hyman sitting to my right. He's about 10 minutes away from getting in here and taking over for us as the UVM pregame show will get going at 6:30. We'll have Bruins hockey tonight against the Red Wings over on 960 The Zone. As Matt said, he loves this team. I love this team too, right? Everybody loves this team. This UVM team has it all. They've got the ability to play inside out. They've got Drew Urquhart and Anthony Lamb down low, Peyton Henson, who can stretch out to the outside. They've got Ernie Duncan, Everett Duncan, who can shoot from three. They've got Cam Ward, who's the sixth man of the year. They've got the best player in the league in Trabell Haynes for two years in a row, and the best point guard in the league in Trabell Haynes. They do have it all. The only thing at this point I think that can stop UVM is themselves. That is the only thing I'm worried about. I'm not afraid of Stony Brook coming in here and just being flat out better than Vermont, because they're not. The only thing I'm afraid of is UVM getting off to a slow start that for once they just can't overcome. That's the only worry that I have about this Catamounts team. And look, that's a good spot to be in. When you seem to control everything, that's the best possible outcome for you. That's how you know you're so good, because you dictate everything. The first 6 minutes of this game are going to be crucial. I always say the first 4 minutes, the first 5 minutes of a quarter or a period or a half are the most important moments of that game. And UVM can come out in the first 5-6 minutes and they can set the tone right away. If they come here and they get the crowd into it and they hit a couple of threes and there's a dunk and a turnover and they're up 12-3, then all bets are off for what's going to happen the rest of the night, because it could get ugly, and it could get ugly in a heartbeat. But if there's 6 minutes left in the first half and it's, you know, 17-16, Stony Brook's up 21-18, those are where I fear things, because I've seen UVM over the last month flirt with disaster, and one time disaster got them against Hartford, and I don't want to see disaster get them again. We are here inside Patrick Gym, Catamount Country, UVM taking on Stony Brook, America East semifinals. Stony Brook comes in 13-18, 7-9 in the America East Conference, whereas the Cats are 26-6, 15-1. I've got UVM winning this game 79-69. As much as I said they could set the tone early, I've just seen sluggish starts out of this Catamount roster over the last month. Albany, UMass Lowell, Maine, it's happened too much for me to sit here and say the Cats are going to win by 35. I hope they do. But right now, this team is more of a kind of let you hang around early and then pull away from you late. And that's just what I see again tonight. I'll go 79-69. But as was always told to me, there's three kinds of people in this world. The people that get hit and do nothing, the people that get hit and fight back, and the people that hit first. UVM has been the second lately. They have been the team that gets hit and fights back and subsequently usually wins. But tonight, they need to be the aggressor. They need to send the message. They need to be the team that hits first. Stony Brook comes in here with zero pressure underdog role. They've already won a game they shouldn't have won against Albany. They've already won on the road. They were under 500 in the league. They come in here as underdogs with nothing to lose and everything to play for. Vermont comes in with the target on its back. The reigning conference champs. Perfect season last year, 31-1 over the last 2 years. Home court advantage. It was a long trip. Stony Brook hasn't even gone home since the playoffs started. They beat Albany and stayed out there for a few nights. So it UVM has all the pressure on them. Come out and make the statement early. That is what I am looking for today, and I'd be pumped if the Cats could get it done. I'm interested to see today how Anthony Lamb is used. I don't expect him to start. Sam Hyman will have the starting lineups for you at about 6:50 here as we get ready this game. But I don't think Lamb starts, but I do think he plays a good amount in this game. I think they're going to need him to play 18 to 20 minutes or so. That's what I'm expecting. That's what I'm anticipating. I think Trayvell Haynes and Peyton Henson play a big role in this game again. Henson had 21 in the win against Maine. Look for him to step up as well. The crowd is going to be full. It is a sellout here in Patrick Gym. We are sitting out here on press row, and all the big wigs, all the academic dignitaries are here. Jeff Shulman is here as well, and we are getting ready for this game. So we got Aaron back in the studio also, so looking forward to him as well. And Aaron, you know, if these guys win, you know, if UVM wins, you know, that means Sports Saturday on location on Saturday because we bring the show out to Patrick Gym, huh?
Yeah, it means I got to get up real early. I got to be up early.
It means so you got to get up real early. So what we would do is we'd have the show go 8:30 to 10:30 that day. Jeff, Paul, and Bernie would be on location, would be on site. So we hope that that's the case.
I will hear about it from Jeff and Bernie, man.
So we look forward to hopefully that as well. All right, that will do it for us here from Patrick Gym, Champlain Valley Game Night. We'll get you ready now. The pregame show with Sam Hyman is coming up next. It's 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. And remember, Catamount Basketball, always streaming on the 101.3 ESPN app. We'll see you tomorrow back in studio, everybody.